Welcome to House Talk on News Radio WHAM 1180. This show is a weekly conversation about all the things you should know when buying, selling, or maintaining your home. Join in with your comments or questions. Call or text 222-1180 or 800-295-1180. Now, live from the News Radio WHAM 1180 studios in downtown Rochester, here are your hosts, Jeff Schofield, Mike Reed, and Andrew Schwert.
Welcome back to House Talk, WHAM 1180. This is Jeff Schofield with RE/MAX Plus.
Mike Reed with All County Inspection Services.
Jamie Messner with Premium Mortgage.
And you can reach us at 222-1180. You think I'd have that memorized by now? So my quick question for you, Mike. I called trying to reach you, and I called the office number. So I talked to somebody else, and I was asking them about the gutter situation. You're going to roll your eyes going, well, you asked me about that, too. I think this was before you. And he suggested Flex Seal. He goes, try Flex Seal tape and stuff. So I have played with that. Mm-hmm. I don't know the results yet. You know, I've got probably about 3 inches built up in the bottom of my gutter. But I was sitting on my deck, and I was thinking, could you use that, stain your deck and use Flex Seal? Would it be like Imron for a car, which would protect the paint from forever? Would that keep me from having to restain my deck and pressure wash it every year, or keep you me from having to hire you to do it?
No, it would not, because it just wouldn't bind to the wood. It's just not designed to hold up in that scenario. The product just wouldn't stick with the wood underneath it. And Flex Seal also has the ability to lift around the edges, and then what happens is water penetrates underneath it and then causes the material that it's stuck to change, and therefore it then starts to break loose. So Flex Seal would not hold up on a deck.
And you've heard that from Mike Reed, Dream Crusher.
Yeah. And now Flex Seal's going to sue me.
Yeah. I don't think they're trying to market them.
Yeah, to deck staining product. And I think that's a good question to ask, though, because there's a lot of products out there that make a lot of claims, but you really have to read what they're designed to be in contact with. You know, you can't use certain kinds of caulk with PVC. They weren't designed to stick with PVC, and then there are other caulks that are designed to hold with PVC, like your PVC decks or the vinyl on your siding. So you put the wrong product down, and it just lifts. And it looks good, and you just got this microscopic gap behind it, and the water just penetrates through.
It probably helps rot the wood quicker.
Exactly. It would hold moisture in, not stop it from getting in.
So going back just to our market update, I mean, we're busy. You know, I've got people listing homes, you know, telling me, well, they either having to move, estate sales, you know, they're coming on the market. So if you haven't found anything, sit tight, because I'm not alone in this. If I'm busy, most other agents are probably also busy. What are you seeing?
Yeah, we started about a month late. Gave me a little agita there in the beginning. You know, we were kind of running through that, you know, cycle of slow, but we have completely taken off. This week alone, traditional contingent home inspections, we've done 18. That was the week that we're ending yesterday, today. And then so far pre-booked for next week, we are up to 8 traditional home inspections, and then 3 home inspections with additional services, so a chimney or a sewer, something else. So we are getting the traditional market back to us, along with things we weren't getting last year, like a chimney inspection. Well, you just were out of luck if you bought a wood-burning fireplace. You know, hopefully it worked when you fired it up a year later, or the inspector came in a year later. Same with swimming pools. We're getting a lot of swimming pool inspections now, just because people can ask for them. The markets have, I don't want to say softened, because things are still very competitive, but I think what's happened is people are starting to take a deep breath and say the panic buying has gone, and we're going to make a good, educated decision here. We may be paying more, but it's going to pay more with good decision-making processes. The panic has kind of left.
Yeah.
Now, you might have seen this with your, you know, with your inspections, but you might not be able to ask the question. It might just be inappropriate. But how many of the people are getting offers accepted subject to an inspection if there's competition? Or how many of your inspections did they win out competition and have it subject to an inspection?
About 65 to 70%, depending on where you fall in the phone call process. And that is just agents having some really good negotiation skills. There are some agents that have figured out some tricks. They figured out some things to get that inspection done. And it's probably about that 65-70% range. It's segmented on both ends of the market are higher concentration. So the super expensive luxury homes, they're getting them, no question asked. The investment properties, they're getting them, no questions asked. It's that meat and potatoes market in the middle, you know, the $300,000, $250,000 house listed in Fairport really requires some real negotiating skills by your agent.
Still going strong to me from my aspect. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, echoing the same thing Mike said, it was kind of a late start, a little slow go in the beginning, slower than usual, but it has picked up quite a bit. And we are seeing things like seller concessions get accepted. I had a deal that someone was contingent on selling their current home, which, you know, that was non-existent. We weren't able to even get looked at, basically, if that was the case a year ago. So different things, government loans, still, you know, FHA, VA, lots more of those getting accepted now. So it's good news.
We had our first client that's got a 203K loan. They closed this week. Hopefully you're out there listening. And we're going in, I believe, on Wednesday to look at the kitchen remodel for them because they were able to get some cash to remodel the kitchen and do some work that they wanted. So they actually got the after repair value
higher
than if it was before the repair value. So basically the government looked at it and said, "There's if you do these amount of repairs, we can give you 80% of a larger number than 80% of what the house is selling for right now." So that's exciting. And they're trying to decide if they actually go the next step. And there's a 203K, which is not limited, but it goes beyond that where you have to get a consultant involved. And we do the consultant work, but I would much rather do the contracting work on that project than the consultant work.
Yeah.
So those are things that were dead for 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Those just didn't exist. And I was surprised to get the phone call from the client saying, "Hey, can you come do this with us?"
I had heard rumored. Now, I didn't hear this firsthand, but, you know, I know the agent that it was both. Very good agent. A friend of mine, you know, apparently had a listing for just under $2 million, ended up with selling, obviously over asking, 7 cash offers. You know, just unbelievable. You know, they talk about, you know, the listeners, you know, the people in our area, you know, the wealth that's here. But, you know, a lot of it's the millionaire next door.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, they're quiet. Hmm. You know, we were talking this past week about, you know, the love letters. Traditionally, no, I shouldn't say traditionally, but for years, people would put together a letter telling, you know, folks that trying to find portray some commonality with the seller. You know, the buyers would write the letter to the seller and put it in with their offer. And they would put in stuff about, you know, "Oh, we feel the warmth, the love in your house," you know, trying to pull on the heartstrings. If they are, you know, go to similar, you know, churches, ethnic backgrounds, they'll put in a tie in there. And, you know, basically the Department of State, you know, said those are illegal. And it makes sense. They're illegal, you know, because it's an ethic violation. You know, it's a fair housing violation, excuse me. So, but it's funny. I still see that. Now, they don't, sometimes they send them over. And, I don't give the agent a lecture, but I don't present them to the, you know, my seller, you know, because it's illegal. But I've also had where people are dropping them off. You know, they drop them off at the door going, "Hey, we're presenting an offer." You know, and people tell me they get home and there's a letter sitting in our mailbox that somebody hand addressed. And yeah, I go, "Look, I don't want to know about it."
Yeah.
Yeah. We've gotten a couple of those on our rental properties. One's in the North Whitton Village area. And I got one that was directed to us. It isn't even for sale. Just saying, "We want to raise our kids in this neighborhood. We want them to go to this school district." And we just kind of set them aside because I never believe that's where it's really coming from. I believe it's just coming from some investor out there trying to pull some kind of heartstring to make me emotionally want to, you know, sell my house to them versus putting it onto an open market. And that's probably what I would think the reason for it being illegal would be. There's no way to vet that's the truth. You know, there's no way to say that I feel the warmth in your house. I'm just trying to trick you into listing it with or selling it with me. So
I think it's a discriminatory thing.
Yeah.
I think it's just a violation of fair housing. I could see it, you know, working for you. And I've seen it working against. I mean, I've had people come in and present offers on listings, and you know, they start naming off everybody they know that they think is from a, you know, the similar ethnic background. And it's really turned off the clients. You know, it's like they see what they're doing.
Well, it's even a familial status thing, too. If you, yeah, people will write in there, you know, oh, I want to raise my family. My kids would love this yard. You can't make decisions based on that due to fair housing.
Yeah. So people ask us how many kids are in the neighborhood. We can't answer.
Right.
Yeah. It used to be we tell them to do use a spy method. Drive around and see how many swing sets per yard. And, you know, but now, I mean, how many kids have swing sets? They have Game Boys. You know, iPads are inside playing. You go Christmas time, you drive around. Nobody's outside playing with toys. Mike, you talked about insurance and the increasing number of calls you're getting from your maintenance company because an insurance, you know, yeah, they get an insurance policy and then a week later they say, well, wait a minute, you've got to do this or that. What are you seeing in there?
Well, there has been a definite uptick. I don't want to say an uptick. It's a new thing. Until a year ago, 6 months ago, we had never had this phenomenon. And we have had three so far in the last month of people who have purchased a house, closed on a house, had their insurance binder written for the mortgage company so they could close on the house. They get a letter 2-3 weeks after they're closed saying you have X number of days to take care of these deficiencies in your house or we're dropping you as an insurance company. And some of the things are little things like, yeah, you need a railing on your front step coming out. You've got a loose piece of siding, little things like that, traditional things. But there have been some big ones in there that are kind of perplexing and where we have gone out and written letters saying that the insurance inspector is inaccurate because these insurance inspectors are not home inspectors. They literally do drive-bys. They literally will drive by, and I'm starting to get a little bit of music in my ear, and we can take this up when we come back. Welcome back to House Talk on Wham 1180, phone number 222-1180. I'm Mike Reed with All County Inspection Services. Our phone number at the office, you'd talk to Bobby, is 585-773-4001. Wouldn't talk to her today because she's home enjoying herself, but tomorrow you would.
So we're talking about insurance repairs.
Yes, we are talking about insurance repairs. So again, it's something that's caught me off guard. We weren't ready for it. It's working out well, but you know, you got to pivot in this world. So what's happening is you get the binder written for closing, and then all of a sudden you think you're good. You're living in your house. You get the scary letter from the insurance company telling you that you've got X number of days to fix these deficiencies. The little things are pretty easy, but what we're finding now is the insurance companies have become uber picky. I mean, just super, super picky. I talked to an insurance underwriter, an adjuster, an insurance agent, just to ask the questions about it. We'll probably have him come into the show and, you know, sometime in July because he's pretty booked with his calendar. But what he's saying is the insurance companies have become picky. They are getting hit with large insurance claims, so they are being picky. So it felt that way. An example was we had a client that had to replace all of their windows in their basement with glass block windows. They had traditional steel frame windows with nothing wrong with them. The insurance company just felt that they were a safety risk because it's glass, it's down below, and a break-in risk. They weren't going to cover it until you replaced it. That's not something we would have ever discussed in a home inspection. We would have said, oh, they're old windows, consider upgrading them to glass block. But we would have never made the recommendation for safety and security. You must do it. We also had a family that had a roof that the insurance company was saying was bad. We had a great roofer, Mr. Fussy Roofing, Scott Reeves, love the guy, he does all my personal work, come out, look at it, and he said, these guys are crazy. I don't know what they're talking about. They don't need a new roof. They got a good 5-6 years left in this roof. And the insurance company was telling them, you need to put a new roof on this or we won't cover you. So we're able to help by getting those letters written and kind of push back against the insurance companies. But there was one house that legitimately needed a new roof.
Yeah.
A person had extended themselves as far as they could. They have no value equity in the house yet. They've been in it for 3 weeks, and now they need an $18,000 roof. So, you know, that's a piece of the puzzle that I think people need to be aware of now as they're buying homes and considering, do I waive a home inspection? There may be information that you need to know so you don't get behind the eight ball further. And I would have never said that before this one roof I was walking on earlier last week, and they needed a new roof, and it was a cedar shakes underneath a asphalt, so the entire roof needed to be tore off, and the buyer and the agents knew nothing about it until the insurance company said, "We're not going to cover you." And then the client reached out back out to me saying, "My mortgage company's telling me that they're going to call the mortgage if I don't have homeowners insurance." So this is a larger, I think we're looking at the tip of a spear here. So I think this is conversations that agents need to start having with buyers and sellers. Like, this is a thing that's going to come back. Might be wrong, might be an anomaly, three of these in a month. Might be the ripple in the pond, but after talking to that insurance agent, this might be the tip of the spear we got to pay attention to. It's that question you asked us a couple months ago, is what is it we don't know that's coming down the pike that's going to fundamentally change how we do business? Kind of like the internet did in the early 2000s. We just didn't know. And now we're starting to see other industries shift, and it affects our industry. So I think we all need to pay attention to it and help guide it.
Well, you know, you also see with insurance companies now is many times, you know, you look at a house, it looks perfect. They have an inspection done, seems perfect. The new buyer goes to get homeowners insurance and they go, "Well, they had an insurance claim for $6,000. What was that all about?" And, you know, there's nothing in the property condition disclosures. If you had a busted hot water heater and you had to replace your carpet in your basement, nothing in there that says, you know, you don't have to tell that story. You had a problem, you fixed it. But now all of a sudden it creates concern from the buyer. You're like, oh, what's wrong? Is there something wrong? Did you test for mold after it happened to make sure it didn't, you know?" No, they dried it up. They got rid of the carpet, ran a dehumidifier we all run dehumidifiers nonstop. But, you know, that's something that probably you're going to see. And it's the government's way of solving thing, you know, make the disclosure bigger and longer. They just did, by the way, they just came out with a new disclosure. So enhanced, you know, more questions. And we have to have every disclosure that any of our current listings, you know, have already signed and filled out. We've got online. They all have to be redone. Isn't that nice?
Oh. Is it including mold? Is that in the new disclosure?
I honestly haven't even looked at the new disclosure. I mean, I'll probably be looking at it tomorrow because we'll be sending it to, and they can't. There was a question came from the board, you know, can you just take that one page and replace it? No, you can't. Yeah. You know, they don't want to make it easy.
Yeah, the reason I ask that is because I'm a member of New York State Alliance of Home Inspectors and Genesee Regional Home Inspectors Alliance and Western New York Alliance of Home Inspectors. And one of the things that we are involved in is you know, how our disclosures are presented. How are they affecting our industry? And we got from Albany about a year ago a mold disclosure that was being talked about being added to the property disclosure form. So I was just curious because we've never seen the final draft. It was just we get updates from Albany telling us what they're talking about. We have some really good presidents that do a good job keeping us up on that. But I was curious how that was in there, if at all. So
you changing topics for a second here, because I really can't maintain a steady line of thought for more than about 30 seconds. You had one of your inspectors suffered a relatively serious dog bite.
Yeah. We had an incident where a dog was not contained as well as it should have been, or you know, the way we were informed it was. And it's definitely one of the hazards of the business. You know, without breaking any disclosures, it was not a very pleasant day for that person. And we kind of talked about it in our office about, you know, how do we do better and what can we do? How can we notify and all that? But it's not just dogs that we've got to be concerned about. We can talk about some of the other animals that have chased us out of properties, wild and domestic. We'll talk about that when we return to News Radio WAM at 1180. House Talk 222-1180.
Welcome back to House Talk on WAM 1180. Give us a call with your questions at 222-1180. I'm Jamie Messner from Premium Mortgage.
Yeah, we were talking dog bites and other animal hazards at inspections. So yeah, we had someone get bit, but the worst I've ever been injured on an inspection was from a cat. So I have a cat running around my feet, pet it four or five times, and so I'm rubbing up against you. Hour later, I go up in the living room. It's on the couch. It goes up one side of my arm, down the other side, biting and scratching me the entire way, up over the top and to the bottom. We've been chased out by snakes that have gotten out of containers.
Screaming like a school
girl. Oh, small child, I screamed. Well, and one of them was a venomous snake. Like, it's not in its cage, and we're in the basement. I think it's time to leave. That kind of thing. And then, you know, we get the wild animals doing chimney inspections. We got lots of squirrels. I've had raccoons come down into the house through the chimney. A couple weird things like that. Lots of skunks in crawl spaces. How about you as an agent, Jeff? You get chased out by dogs yet?
I'll answer that. Yes, I have been bit. And I remember when I was in college, I had a friend of mine going to grad school with go over to visit him, and he lived with his brother and two other guys. It was kind of like a frat house, but they just rented it. And he goes, hey, you know, he asked his brother, where's that flashlight? He goes, we still got the snakes in the basement? He goes, yeah. So he grabs a flashlight. He goes, come on, I want to show you this. I'm like, I don't want to go down in the basement if you've got snakes down there. So I was expecting a prank, like somebody's going to, you know, hit me in the ankle or something, you know, so I feel like I got bit. He opens his closet. And, I mean, it was kind of like here, you know, the rustic city basements, you know, where they have the knotty pine walls and stuff. He opens a closet, shines a light in. And I'm like, I know if I walk over there, somebody's going to, you know,
rubber snake
me the leg with a rubber snake it or something.
Yeah.
Kicks his crate. There were 54 rattlesnakes.
Oh, my goodness. One.
And
no
I guess
way.
It's they have harvest times. And this guy got them ahead of time. So, you know, he had to wait. I mean, illegal, but I guess he had gotten and said, can I store these snakes for like a week until the season opens and then I can sell the pelts? But I thought that was one of the freakiest things I've ever said.
Yeah.
As an agent, I've gotten bit 3 times. And usually you never see it coming. I mean, the last time I did not draw blood, but they had a German Shepherd. I thought, oh, that's cool. I got a German Shepherd. And the dog's real friendly, jumps up and nips me on the cheek. And I go, yeah, okay, maybe you better put him away.
Yep. And so we ask people to put their pets away. And because you don't think that you're going to, you know, have this issue, especially when the dog's standing behind the owner and it's literally like flipping a switch.
Yeah.
Looks like we have a phone call coming in. Welcome to House Talk News Radio, WHAM 1180.
Good morning. How are you this morning? Or this afternoon? This afternoon.
Yeah,
good. How are you?
We're doing great.
Very good. I love your show. I listen to it often, and I finally have a good question to ask. I know you can help me out. I currently have a home built in 1988. It's sided with rough sawn cedar. And I believe when they actually built the house, they never primed the rough sawn cedar. They just put a solid color stain on it. Well, over the years, I've been maintaining it, but now that I notice some of the boards are popping, the wood's not holding the paint anymore, some rot, a couple sides are good, the other two are not so good. It's getting to that point. So I've been investigating some vinyl siding, and I'm not sure if the cost would outweigh the benefit if I'm only going to be here 5 to 8 more years. So I want to talk to the experts, which are you, and see how you feel about that.
Well, it's very difficult to repair the rough sawn cedar simply because anything you put up is going to look substantially different than what's there. So if you go and you do your repairs are going to look substantially different just due to aging of the wood that's there. How the return on investment would be, I would turn that over to Jeff because it's a substantial investment to re-side your house. But I also know there's a couple other things like time on market, some things like that would be factors on is it worth it or not. So what are your thoughts, Jeff?
I don't know. In today's market, I think if you repaired it would depend on the house, the age of it, what all the neighboring homes are. I mean, I've had clients that would go ahead and replace all the individual, what I call it, clapboards, or,
yep,
you know, and to keep it with the original style. I think it's just a dollars and cents thing. If you're going to sell it in 5 years, you know, go the route that's, you know, I mean, you don't want to, as they say, put lipstick on a pig, but repair it, but do it something economical. If you're going to stay there for another 20 years, then, you know, if you spend a little bit extra on the vinyl siding, you could probably save yourself having to pay painters every 5 years to come in.
Yeah, and I think that would probably be, you know, the biggest question is how long are you planning on staying? If you're going to be there for a cycle of painting it twice, definitely go to vinyl. By the time you pay to have a house repaired and painted, vinyl siding would be the way to go. So if you're doing, you know, more than 5 years, between 5 and 10 years, where you're looking to paint it twice, boy, it's going to be really, it's going to be close to the same price. You probably will get a little bit more out of the vinyl than you would the wood siding. So
it's hard to say
pricing out. Yep.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say because I'm 66. You know, time goes quick. 66, 76, 86, you know. So I'm getting to that point. Am I going to stay? I'm not sure. I would think at least 5 years anyway. But the cost of painting, of course, everybody wants $1 million to do some service for you. So that's very expensive.
Absolutely.
So that's why I was thinking the vinyl. But vinyl, I think, would be like 16 to 18.
I think you'll be surprised how expensive painting that house has gotten. I just had a project where we quoted out painting the soffits and 12 of the 14 windows, and we were running around $4,000 to have that done. And that was...
Yeah, I know painting some people are paying over $6,000 now.
It's gotten expensive. So if you're interested, give our office a call, 585-773-4001, and tell Bobby that you talked to me on the radio. We've got a project management program where I could come out and just sit down with you and talk through this and do some math, some rough math, budgeting math, and we could help you decide what direction you wanted to go. So whenever you get a quote from the contractors, all of the quotes are apples to apples. What happens a lot with contract quotes is, you know, a guy's a great price because he forgot half of the product. We help people negotiate through that and work their way through it. So give Bobby a call, let her know you talked to me on the radio. I'll get out the end of this week or early next week, and we could help send you down that right direction. And we do that through what's called the Oversee It program through InterNACHI, which is International Association of Home Inspectors. We help you just get a hold of this budgeting process.
Okay. That was 773-4000. Is that correct?
4001. 4001.
Okay.
And what was your name again? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that in the beginning.
My first name is Joe.
Joe. Okay. I'll let Bobby know that you'll be reaching out. Thanks, Joe.
Okay. 773-4001.
That is correct.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Joe. You have a great day.
So we've run into bees, which is always, I mean, you talk about acting like a scared school child. Yeah. I hate bees.
Oh, yeah.
They hurt. They sting.
They do.
Apparently,
you know, and they'll chase you. My last house, I had carpenter bees all the time. You know, I had to have the house exterminated. You know, it was a cedar. There was a lot of cedar in it, you know, consistently.
Yeah, I forgot about bees. We had one house where I was getting, there was like a hum coming from the attic. Sounded like an electronic transformer. I was like, well, maybe there's a doorbell transformer up there, some kind of low voltage lighting. I opened the hatch up, shined my flashlight against the gable end wall, and there was a wasp nest probably the size of an office chair in the corner.
Wow.
So we just gently shut that, called the exterminator. And then I did a house here in the city. I was on a roof, a second story roof, and all of a sudden I'm getting stung. So to the point where I almost jumped off the roof. I couldn't decide if it was worth going down the ladder or not. And had I not had a baseball hat on, I would have jumped. And the hat that I had on, when I pulled it off, I got stung 5 or 6 times in the arm. There were probably 40 stingers in the hat where they just went to my head. So I forgot all about bees. So I'm sure if my inspectors were listening, they'd call and tell me all about bees.
You guys have all the fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, you get to stay in your office.
Right.
And
just play with numbers, you know. None of the bees and squirrels.
You know what I like is, I mean, we'll continue the bee conversation, but when you start a project and you're doing it yourself and you go, yeah, this is more in what I want to do or more what I can do, or if you ever have one contractor and it doesn't work out and you have to hire a second one, the second contractors can never just come in and say, yeah, we can fix this, we can do it, you know, finish it, and it's going to cost you X dollars. They've got to ridicule the work you did or the work the other contractor did. Like, wow, this guy, you know, he shouldn't even have a license. You know, it's nice, you know, when you do it.
Right.
Like I had bees in, you know, one of my old homes, and it was stucco exterior. And in the infinite wisdom, I bought Raid, you know, and the stuff that, you know, exterminators have is like night and day to what we can buy off the shelf. And I probably over the course, do it at night because they're supposed to all be in the nest, you know. And I probably emptied out 4 cans of Raid at one point. And I thought, all right, emptied it with Raid and plugged the hole where they were going in. And the next day I get up early, go to work, you know, kids aren't home. I get a call mid-morning, you know, hey, one of the bedrooms is full of bees.
Whoops.
And so then we call the bee expert in and I have to get a lecture on, you know, how that was the worst thing you possibly could do. I guess I'm supporting your services now.
Well, yeah. Well, what happens is probably wasps, paper wasps in the wall, and they're used to going out an entry point, and then you poison the entry point, and they're in the wall. They will chew through drywall, and now all of a sudden they're in your house, and they've been in the wall for months or years, and you just don't notice it. And then once you poison the entrance, they got to find a new way out, and they will. We've actually had that where, you know, people have called us and said, we're on an inspection, and you open a room. They go, don't go in there. There's a lot of bees. And, you know, there's one in particular out in the Victor area I can think of pops right into my head where there was nothing in there. And then an hour later,
that's a lot of bees.
you know, something that I'm paranoid about is I have sold rental properties where you're looking at the property and you're walking around and, you know, I'm asking the people. Well, I think we're heading into break now, so we'll continue this when we get back.
Sounds good.
Welcome back to House Talk. We'll entertain any questions you have. 222-1180. We were talking about weird stuff we've seen, insects, bees, dog bites, odors. Odd odors are, you know, if you cook with a lot of spices that are very smelly, you know, you really don't, you know, if you've got Mike after a hard day of work in your house, you might want to get him out.
Yeah.
you know, I mean, it's just a smoking. I mean, smoking, it's like, you know, especially if anybody used to be a smoker, you know, they're very, very sensitive to it. Pets.
Yes.
I sold a house, I don't know, probably 2-3 years ago. And when we were still wearing masks, and I walked in and I found, I mean, I knew it second I walked in, fortunately had a mask on. And I said, oh, I forgot something. I went out to my car and I had a little tiny tin of Vicks Vapor Rub. So I pulled the mask down, put some under my nose and, you know, put the mask back up. But yeah, it's hard to get past that. Not so much in today's market, because I think you could literally have that dead body in the corner and somebody would still buy the house.
Yes.
But, you know, odors are tough. And, you know, people always ask me, like, what do you do to get rid of pet odors? And I see a product which I've not tried. They advertise it on TV a lot. But you can buy Odor Ban. Have you ever used that?
I have, yeah. And it's effective. But it's just like everything else is over the counter. It always goes back to the application and preparation. That's why companies that do odor removal charge what they charge, because it really isn't about the odor removal. It's about the preparation of the odor removal. So the chemical gets to the odor, you know, and the hard part with odors is you as a homeowner or someone who lives there, you're just used to it. So other people will walk in, think something's really offensive, and you don't even notice it's there. It's, you know, especially pets, that's a big one. And then older things. We had a story that we had about it was we had a lady that I caught her standing in a closet. She had shut the closet door and was just standing in like, well, 3-foot by 4-foot closet. And I kind of thought she was losing her.
How long was she there? I mean, why was she staging?
She was in there for probably about 10 minutes. She was doing that in every closet in the house. And the reason was...
Oh, this was a buyer.
A buyer.
Yeah.
And the reason was they had bought a house previous, and her experience was someone had used a closet as a litter area for a cat. Threw the litter box in there and used it. And you didn't smell anything. But every time, she said, every time you took clothes out of that closet, it smelled like cat urine. So you don't smell anything, but over time, the clothes would absorb that smell. So she went and stood in every closet in this house for 10 or 15 minutes with the door closed, see if a smell appeared for her.
Wow.
So smells have that residual effect where you might not notice it, but over time, your shirts start to smell like cat. You're like, wow, that's pretty bad. So there are a couple companies out there with smoking that local cleaning companies here that do a great job, and they spray a chemical. When I worked for a large management firm, they would spray this chemical on the walls, and you'd watch the nicotine and tar literally just run down the wall. And it instantly started to smell like cigarettes, like somebody smoking. And it was just this goopy, disgusting tar nicotine that ran down the walls. And then they would suck it up with what looked like a handheld carpet vacuum. And it was just disgusting. But the places would go from being foul to tolerable in the matter of a couple hours. But you definitely paid for it, and it was worth it.
Marijuana has a distinct smell. I mean, it's not, you know, I guess if you're sitting there smoking and getting high, you don't really mind it that much. But, and then other areas, they have meth issues.
Yes.
That I guess, you know, they can actually do an inspection to see if the place is ever...
In our southern tier, if you get, you know, south of the Dansville area, I'm sure it's up further north too, but you get south of the Dansville area, some of those houses that have not had anyone in them for a couple years, you really need to do a meth inspection where you take some samples and find out if there are toxic chemicals that are embedded in the walls. And I see we have a phone call.
Welcome to House Talk.
Hi. I just had to chime in on your smell, the smell issues that you're talking about. One idea that works that my father used over and over and over back when paint had that very strong odor in it was he would put water out in bowls with sliced onion into the water, and it absorbs smells unbelievably. I had a friend who was selling a house, and they had a very large dog that was very sick and died in the house, and the odor permeated everything. The house smelled, and it was absolutely clean and beautiful. So the realtor said, you have to get the smell out of here. They tried everything. They had already moved. I went over. I literally put bowls of water with sliced onion in every room and went back the next morning, dumped it out, and the smell was gone within 24 hours. It took...
I think you need to start a cleaning business and then, you know,
no,
make that proprietary and use that, sell that to everybody. Because, man, that's one of our big challenges is smells, because you don't notice it. You know, people don't notice it.
I had done a flip house
an
once and I bought it.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. Go ahead.
An onion is it draws, like people use it for healing. They will put onion on the bottom of their feet with socks and bags to draw infections out. If you have colds, onions are drying to have. And, you know, if you cut an onion, you're going to cry. So it has that, I don't know, that component that causes it to draw. So it does work really well, very well.
Well, I suspect if you just put an onion in the proximity of Mike's feet, everything would smell better.
Absolutely. Especially my work boots.
I guess that wraps it up for today, folks. House Talk, I'm Jeff Schofield with RE/MAX Plus. I can be reached at 600-5333.
I'm Mike with All County Inspection Services. I can be reached at 585-773-4001 or our website, achiwny.com.
I'm Jamie Messner with Premium Mortgage. I can be reached at 585-944-8876.